New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1074, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and we are back from Loverland, Virginia. It's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Austin, Texas, podcaster, author, speaker, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
And from Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, soon to have a platinum record coming out later this summer, Derek Miner.
What's happening? What's happening? I receive it.
That album deserves
receive,
it, man.
Brother.
I receive it.
People heard one single on last week's or on Tuesday's show. They're going to hear another single on today's show. I'm going to be rolling them out with you. So.
Wow, it's the Derek Miner show. I'm here for it.
Hey, let's get
Jamie,
it.
We talked about it on Tuesday's show, but when we were in Montana, Derek played the whole album for us. It's coming out July. It's insane. It's so good.
Wow.
Like he said, it's the best thing he's ever done, and he undersells it so much. It is so good.
All right,
Derek,
go ahead. You've got my number. Send me a song to listen to.
He ain't giving it to anybody. He's just playing it over Sonos. He doesn't want it leaking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to send it right at the end of July. I'm going to send it right.
Jamie, I tried that like in our group chat like a month ago. Like it was done. I was like, well, send it. And he's like, I'll play it for you in Montana. This dude's got it on lockdown. He's not going to share it.
That's the thing, because it'd be an uncomfortable situation, because if it leaked, he would know, oh man, it was Cameron.
Exactly. Who did it? Crack.
Because you know, everyone's like, I promise I won't share it with anybody. And then they're like, hey, listen, I got this from Derek. Don't say I gave it to you. Don't tell anybody. It's just between me and you.
This is Derek's new album. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, as a matter of fact, so I just dropped a single called More on the Way. And I'm also doing this challenge called the More on the Way Challenge. So the way it works, pick an amount, it could be $5, $10, $15, whatever. And then think of a friend that you think could use it, or a coworker, or an organization, charity, and then just send it to them. And then I want you to record how you felt after you sent that. And I want you to hashtag More on the Way, tag me in it. And then after that, I want you to challenge a friend. Like challenge somebody in the post, like say, hey, I challenge Relevant Podcast Cameron, I challenge Jamie Ivey. And then we're just going to keep seeing how far our generosity can go. I really want to do something different, something that adds to the world. Most of the time, we're always thinking about taking, but giving away feels even better. So it's like, That's what we're doing. More on the Way Challenge. Make sure to hit me up.
I love it.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So is there the hashtag, say it all again, like what do people need to do? So they donate, they film a little clip of like what they did,
how you felt, and then nominate somebody at the end of it. Right. Yeah. So just More on the Way Challenge, pick them out, give it away to whoever. It doesn't even matter how much it is, because it's not about how much, it's about the feeling, and also knowing that you don't have to be afraid to give away. So it's like, it's that idea. So giving them
out. Can I say something? To all y'all listening, if you're going to join in on this, don't do $5. I don't care how you feel about giving $5. Okay. You know what I mean?
Minimum eight.
I'm saying it's not sacrificial enough. Do something that you had
you
to
buy
like.
Anything for $5 these days.
My thing is like, do something that like, man, this was maybe a sacrifice for me, but I want to bless somebody intentionally and then talk about it. Like if you're throwing a little $5 that you don't care about, that's not the spirit of it. I don't, it's Derek's thing, but I'm just saying like, step it up a little bit.
Cameron said, run the racks. But my thing is, if $5 is all you got, if that's a sacrifice, if that's all you got,
that's
all you got. You know what I'm saying?
Just make it a sacrificial gift.
Yeah, make it a blessing for somebody else. Because I know oftentimes for me, I've seen needs and I've been afraid to even say, you know what? I'm going to be the solution to the problem, because I'm like, well, what about if I don't get that back, right? Like, let's freely give. And I think that's the beauty of it. It could be five. You know what your number is. If $5 is that number, cool. Yeah. If $500 is that number, cool. $5,000, whatever that number is, because it's about breaking the scarcity, fear mentality. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So, once you give it away, I want you to make a video telling everybody how you felt. And then I want you to challenge somebody else. And make sure you use the hashtag More on the Way. beautiful.
And I'm gonna Cameron, I get it. I want people to be generous, but no one's complaining about getting a free $5. If someone gave me a free $5 right at that immediate moment, like, I want a 7-Eleven right now. And taquito time, and no one knows because it's cash. It is.
All I'm saying is
dirty little secret.
If somebody's throwing you $5 and they don't care, I don't want them to give me a video of how that made them feel.
Right.
I want them to give me a video of, like, right, I thought about this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You don't want the stale video of, like, I just did the challenge and I did a little video. You want people to actually experience the beauty of self-sacrifice, sacrificial giving.
No, if they don't have, if that's all they can give, you know, the widow's mite of $5.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Give that, bless somebody with that five bones, because if, like I said, if I receive five bones, I'm spending that day on something that I don't need, but I'm going to want that is in the $5 neighborhood. There's a lot you can get out there at a convenience store for $5 that's really going to lift somebody's day.
And I think the power in that challenge is that you feel good because you gave away, and then the other person feels good because they just received something out of the blue. Like, it wasn't like I owed this bill or I worked for it. You just received it out of the blue. It reminds me of something else, the gospel. Like, it's the beauty of just receiving something that you didn't work for or anything, you know?
I'm going to say something, an example of this is a group chat that we're in last night, some buddies of ours. And the cool thing about our group chats is we don't just fart around and send memes, although we do that. We also talk about real stuff.
A lot of them.
And one of our friends last night said, hey, y'all, I know this may be out of the blue, but can y'all just pray for me? Like, I'm going through some financial hardships right now. And he kind of detailed some of the stuff he was facing. And everybody's like jumping in, man, I got you. We're praying for you, whatever. And then one of our friends said, hey, I'm going to send some money. It's not much, but it's what I can do. What's your Venmo? And he said, prayer's coming also, but sometimes I know better than anyone, you need someone to slide in some real cash and be the answer to the prayer. We love you so much, and we're so sorry you're going through this. And then what did he spark? Boom, 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 boom. Everybody sent. Everybody jumped in on it. This is the heart of what Derek's talking about, is like to be, you know, like to bless somebody sacrificially. Who cares how much it is? But if it's what you can do, you know, it's going to bless somebody. And our friend, it blew his mind. He was not expecting it. He was just kind of keeping us in the loop of what's going on in his life. And we were praying for him. And he's just like, man, my ego mask is falling. And like, I'm just like so humbled and grateful. Yeah. And it like really impacted him. And it's just like, let's do that. I love this challenge, man. This is awesome. Say let's the hashtag one more time.
Hashtag more on the way.
Come on.
Love it.
Let's do it.
Love it. Yep.
All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Elevation Worship's Chris Brown, the good one. The other Chris Brown didn't join Elevation.
Relax.
Chris Brown's coming up. You don't want to miss that. We also have your feedback at the end of the show. But right now, Emily's going to join us for a Relevant Buzz. Popping up. If life a marathon, I got no choice but run amok. I've been sliding on these tracks. My haters need a salt truck. And it still won't melt the ice. And it's black. And I'm back. You talking down. What is that, bro? You act like we ain't blessed or something. God ain't flexed or something. If you want me on your set or something, cut a check or something. We've been bringing dreams to life like Freddy Krueger. We ain't done. I've been moving on this blind faith from staring at the sun. This one when it sound like they don't see it, let alone what it feel like. Dog, why you worry about them? Go get your own life. Counting everybody pockets like you work for Levi. Oh my, that won't get you nowhere. I came way too far from how they seeking from the police. But it came way too far. My gang was sitting in the nosebleed. Praying down on my knees and got back up. We in the floor seats. Yeah. Looking at full court games like of course we had to go steps on full course meals. Now it's more on the way. What I stress about these bills, I got more on the way. I'ma spend a win. You're listening to Derek Minor, John Keith, 1K Few, and No Big Deal. Holy cow, heavy hitters. The song is More on the Way. It's Derek's newest single. Go save it wherever you listen to your music. It's obviously good. The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music. Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
Okay, please welcome to the show our very own Downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Big news right now, today is Emily's birthday. Happy birthday, Emily.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
yeah.
Here
happy
we go.
Birthday.
There we
to
go. Bring
you.
It.
Happy. Y'all ain't never heard that version before. Hey, y'all.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Good. Happy birthday, Emily.
Oh, saying.
Emily, we're very excited for your birthday, and I didn't tell the other members of the team here that we've orchestrated a surprise. Here with me in the room. Come on over. Come on over, Mr. Harry Styles. Now, what? Now,
Harry Styles.
Now, let me just preface.
Styles. What's up? All right, that's what's up.
This isn't the Harry Styles. This is a guy I looked up in the phone book whose name happens to be Mr. Styles. He's leaving. Hold on. He didn't know why I asked him over here. Mr. Styles. He's rummaging through my things now. Okay, this was a mistake. Anyway, what were you saying about the staff, Cameron? I got to go take care of a situation with a vagrant that I've left. Allowed into my home.
He's just roaming your house. This morning, the staff sang, he was on his rendition of Happy Birthday. The staff sang her Happy Birthday through the melody of this, the national anthem. She's now had two weird Happy Birthday songs and no normal ones.
She is a patriot.
Emily, how old are you? Do you share that information freely?
I will, as long as we promise to bleep this out when the episode records. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm 28.
Oh, I was like... great year.
Good year.
28.
Good year.
Okay, is it
27 is kind of the peak, and it's all downhill after that. So you're on the decline.
No, you're on the decline.
I think 28 is like people recognize you as like full-on adult. 27 still like, there's still, 28's like, okay.
I don't know how I feel about being like a full-grown adult, because I kind of like being able to make the excuse of like, I'm just a young 20-year-old still figuring it out. And now it's like, I don't get to use that excuse anymore.
I kind of have to know a few things. Yeah, that's over with.
Once you can rent a car, you're on your own. I'm sorry, you're an adult.
True.
Like 25 and up, you better have it figured out. Did you do anything special? Your mom came into town, right? Did you take her on the Pedal Tavern in downtown Nashville?
No, but she did think it was very funny watching all of them, mainly because I didn't really realize it until we were both looking at it that hard. But there's really two groups that do Pedal Taverns. It's either the young bachelorette party girls, or it is like middle-aged women who I assume are having like a divorce party. That are just like living it up, having their best loud lives. It's an interesting demographic.
Look, and the thing is, they dress more scantily clad than the bachelorettes. Like the kids, you just like, you're like, ma'am, put it away.
Please.
Put it away.
ma'am, your children are in their mid-20s. Please put it away.
Put it away.
Y'all, listen, you get in your 40s, you just want to relive those 20s again. That's what
these women, like, they were reliving their 20s. Yeah, they were having a good time.
Good for them.
Have y'all noticed that divorce parties are a thing now? Like, I was watching the news.
I've never heard of that.
It's on the Seth Rogen of Apple TV Plus. Show that came out a couple weeks ago, Platonic. It's fantastic. One of the episodes was he's going through a divorce. One of the episodes is some of the female characters went to a friend's divorce party, and then they got inspired to throw him a divorce party. Divorce parties in LA are apparently a thing. Like,
what do you do there?
It's like a brunch or whatever, and your friend who's going through the divorce, you say uplifting things to them, you show them support, we love you, and you encourage them how much they mean to you, all these things, you're going to make it through, all this kind of stuff, and we're here for you. And it's just kind of like, you're entering your new season, but you're not entering it alone. We're walking it through with you. Let's have a good brunch. That kind of
thing. It's kind of like the opposite of a bachelorette party, where it's like, bachelorette parties are supposed to be like, your last night of freedom before you settle down. And divorce parties are like, you're free and now you get to go crazy again. Like, I think that's maybe the vibe of it sometimes.
Which is why they dress the way that they dress. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, it is.
All right. Relevant Buzz. Tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture, Emily.
You mean we're not just going to talk about my birthday the whole time? I thought you guys were going to go around and say...
We're moving on, Emily.
I thought you were going to say all your favorite things about me. Tell me why you love me.
We did that at staff meeting already.
I think we've covered what's at the intersection of faith and culture. It's Emily's birthday, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Period.
Yeah. Period. All right, that'll do it for Relevant Buzz. For more, check out...
Everyone's talking about it. Yeah.
All right, what's going on?
There's something that a lot of people actually are talking about. It's the new Duggar documentary, Shiny Happy People. Have any of you guys started watching it? Jamie?
I've seen 2 episodes.
Okay. How do you feel about it so far?
It's on my queue.
I'm yearning to watch the other two because I'm really into it. You know, my husband did not come from that exact type of thing, but he grew up under that Bill Gothard stuff a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I told him we were going to watch it. And I was like, I don't know if you should watch it. Like, it might like make you start shaking or something. Like, it might bring back memories. And he watched some of them. He's like, yeah, that was the language that was happening at our church. And so it's like, it's hard to watch because on one hand, I watch it and I see these kids. That's about mainly the Duggar family. And their kids are so good and well-behaved. And I look at mine and I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, why can't y'all act like the Duggars? And then you watch this and you're like, oh, I think they might have a lot of issues when they get older.
Yeah, like they turn into pedophiles, literally convicted pedophiles. Yeah.
So that's a whole, okay, that was my first thought was like, oh my gosh, their kids are so good. And then the like pedophile, the patriarchy, it's just setting up a lot of people for failure. It's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch.
I don't know nothing about it.
So you know who the Duggars are?
No, I know who the Duggars are, but who is the person you said the
Bill Gothard?
Bill Gothard.
Yeah, what is this thing?
Yeah.
So Bill Gothard is the leader of the Institute and Basic Life Principles, which is the organization that the Christian affiliated organization that the Duggars are part of. And they have very strict teachings. It is like a very patriarchal thing. I think the best way to describe it is one of the sisters on the Duggars. She kind of described it as if they're in a room, whoever the oldest man is in the room, he's in charge. No question. Like, doesn't matter his qualifications. Like, he is the one that makes all the decisions for everyone. They definitely teach don't question authority, that you should submit to all authority without sort of pushing back against it.
I don't see any problem with it, honestly.
Okay. And like they also, the teaching is like a women's role is strictly your only option is like a wife and a mother.
Yeah.
Like,
sounds
no
great.
Room for you
that
to do
sounds
anything
fantastic.
Else. And, you know, well, there's that.
Anybody listening needs to know I have a smile on my face. I'm being completely sarcastic. Do not quote me.
We don't all just kind of let it go because we're like,
it's too late.
You heard how quiet I got. I was like, he's going to get canceled by himself.
Go for
he's going to cancel himself.
I'm not getting canceled with him. I'm like, look, I'm just going to watch.
Don't fire at medium.com and write a whole thing about quoting me, please. I was a joke.
I was
raised by strong women. Yeah. I affirm strong women in ministry and leadership. We've had leaders on our team all over the years. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. It was a joke. All right.
I got a pitch to interview Ginger.
Yeah, we had her on the podcast too.
Duggar Vola. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when it first came through my office, I was like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole because I didn't know what her book was about. Mm-hmm, I didn't know anything. I just knew that she was a part of this family and I had zero interest in talking about that. But I actually read her book. And like the older sisters are like almost coming to the light a little bit about what they were raised with. And I feel sorry for them in a way because you'll hear them and they still honor their parents a lot. Like they're still like, I had a great childhood. My parents are great. And this is what we're dealing with. And I feel like that, I feel sorry for them in a way that they're having to reckon with so many. Yeah. We all have to reckon with our childhood. Yeah. And they have to do it publicly.
Ginger, when we talked, she used a really great word. She said she was disentangling her faith and like a lot of things she learned from her childhood just because, you know, I think what is so hard is with Gothard's teachings that I think a lot of people really wrestle with is he's not wrong 100% of the time. There are things he does preach that are biblically accurate, but there are other things he teaches that are definitely his strong interpretation of scripture and he treats it as if it's 100% true. And that's where there is a lot of, there's just a lot of abuse that ended up happening in the IBLP because of his teachings. And there's sort of this reckoning that's coming with it right now.
And two, what's interesting about the Duggar situations, if you didn't watch a show like Derek and like, I kind of just know about it, but I'm not that interested. The thing I would say to those people is watch this through the lens of Gothard's teachings infiltrated far beyond just his little community, like Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches. That sort of teaching seeped into a lot of it. So while you're watching the Duggars, it might be the extreme version of it, but you will find so much that's like, oh yeah, like my church taught that. And like, and it's eye opening, like how, you know, these views really infiltrated mainstream Christianity as well.
And it's not just it's not just like sort of like the fundamentalism and the patriarchy and sort of antiquated ideas about, well, you know, what I consider antiquated ideas that are more puritanical when it comes to gender roles than biblical. I think the other aspect too is like a lot of people, including probably a handful of us on this podcast, were raised in a very Western Christian culture that put a heavy emphasis on the centrality of family, where, you know, when I think you kind of start reading the Bible objectively as an adult or you know, not necessarily even as a young person, you realize like, yeah, you know, families are important, but it's not. I mean, Jesus was to the point where he was almost dismissive of people who were too, you know, leave your father, mother, don't even go to the funeral. Like, like your family's the church. Like, I love being a dad. Love being a husband. I think families are important, but I also feel like there was a time in kind of modern Western Christianity, particularly certain sects of like conservative evangelicalism, where the idea of family became, it seemed almost like an idol, where it was like, look, I'm not discounting. It's important to be a good parent and raise your children in a way where they have a solid foundation. But that's not really what I'm reading. When I read the teachings of Christ, like, he doesn't really hone in on that too much. Like, he's more
That's how you know that Vin Diesel is a solid Christian, because he's been for 10 Shut movies. All of this has been for family. He jumped off the side of an airplane in a car, jumped off a cliff.
Amen.
Would you do that for Gmail? Family,
man.
Would you do that for Jesus, bro?
It's just family. Vin Diesel, really passionate of Christ, part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Just one thing I need to clarify for the listeners who might be taking notes at home. Jesse was talking about the S-E-C-T-S of Christianity, not sex of Christianity. He was saying sex of Christianity.
Sex of Christianity.
Yeah, but just want to clarify.
But either way, I'm not anti-family. So
very
but
different documentary if it was the other
family.
I'm not like anti-family, but
in that documentary.
But it really does seem like, hey, there's a lot more going on in scripture that we should be concerned about, you know, when it comes to relationships with people. Yeah, than necessarily, yeah, exactly, the Dom Toretto version of the gospel, where it is totally central to, you know, where the primary relationships are the ones that you have you can't choose who your family is, who you're related to. I'm not saying those relationships aren't important, but they're not the most important. Like, I don't know. I have a whole, and I'm not like bashing like Focus on the Family or, you know, what Gothard or whatever, but even that idea of Focus on the Family, should we focus on the community? Should we focus on the church? Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to
it's
break
not
down
either
semantics.
Or. It's both and.
Exactly.
It's not either or.
It totally is. But some people are raised in a culture where family is absolutely central, to the point where it kind of blocks out these other influences, including ones that could call into accountability when, you know, could hold people accountable when things like abuse occur.
I see what you're saying.
There
so what you're okay. saying is how sometimes people can raise the idea of family so high that if there's someone in your family that may be doing something wrong, your idea is to protect that toxicity rather than expose it for the gospel, right? I.e. the Brian Houston stuff with Hillsong.
I was really wondering where you're going with that. The bubble thing. It's like, I'm the head of this family. Yes, sir, I can do no wrong. And it's like, if we lived in community, other people could check me if I was accountable in relationship with other people.
I was about to come check on them kids.
I know, right?
Jesse, after a while,
like,
he's
not even going to their funerals? Like, good Lord, Jesse. Love your family, man.
That's what Jesus said to the guy.
Paul said he wished that everybody was like him.
Yeah, single. Exactly.
I'm living the most godly life here. I just said, I'm going to follow Paul's teachings and live single and just forget about ever finding love. That's what
your gray sweatpants for 3 days straight. Then.
Come on now.
But
comfort is king, man. Jesse, in the show, there, if you watch it, there is a family friend who tries to talk to them about when the stuff came out with Josh, their oldest son, because that was people. I wouldn't say, Emily, you can correct me. I wouldn't say from the documentary that a lot of people knew about that, but there were some family friends who knew a little bit about what had happened with the oldest son previous to the media finding out encouraged them to do stuff. But you do get the sense that Jim Bob, that's his name, Derek, Jim Bob Duggar was like, let's just keep this here and not have to deal with it. So I do see what you're saying. I want to say two things that were really hard to watch. Number one, when the girl, the Duggar who's on the show, Emily, what's her name?
Jill.
Jill.
And you guys, Jim Bob and Jill.
Oh, all the kids' names are J names. All 19 of them.
Do they have a Jesus?
They got Jedediah, Jeremiah,
except
Jill,
for the wife,
Ginger,
except for Michelle. All of them. But this is what was sad for me. Their show, 19 Kids and Counting, brought in millions and millions, and it put TLC on the map. Mm-hmm. Like it, sure. It transformed that network. So they've made a lot of money. And then they had, when the scandal came out with the oldest son, TLC canceled them. But then they started redoing these shows. Like then they started doing spinoffs. You guys. Those girls did not make any money off of their spinoff shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
They are grown women. They are married. They are birthing children on TV, and they did not make a dime off those shows.
How?
That's not okay.
How is that even possible?
Because Jim Bob was in charge of the contracts. That made me really, really angry. Yeah.
And that's my whole
Jim
point.
Bob,
like,
you jerk.
I think we should all strive to be good parents and children of our parents and all things. But I'm just saying, like, if it becomes so central that you start losing focus of biblical accountability for holding people account for their actions, particularly when they're clearly in some sort of either relationally abusive or sexually abusive or physically abusive situation, there's a problem. There's a big problem with where priorities are. And hopefully that's, it can sort of be cautionary to that degree.
So, So a lot of people, we've seen a lot of chatter online, a lot of chatter in our world about people watching this Duggar thing because it was very eye-opening and people are watching it, kind of like to watch the freak show. And then they're realizing a lot of those teachings have infiltrated our church experiences as well. And what's interesting is like, it's just falling right on the heels of the Hillsong documentary, which I'm segueing to, because we didn't see hardly any online chatter about the Hillsong documentary at the level that we're seeing the Duggar ones. And then what I'm talking about is like, our world, our audience, the relevant crowd. Like nobody's talking about the Hillsong doc. And Emily and I have been trying to figure out why. And we realized that we can watch the Duggar thing as outsiders, but the Hillsong thing, once you put it on, like we lived through this. I don't want to relive this. You know what I mean? So a lot of people are avoiding it or they start to sample it. And the first episode's a little, in my opinion, unfocused. They're like, and then they ask you to give 10% of your income and they ask you to work for free on Sundays with the kids ministry, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, come on, they're losing the plot here, the filmmakers. But let me say this, if you were hesitant or gave up on the Hillsong documentary, go watch episode 4. Episode 3 is where they talk about Brian Houston and his dad, Frank Houston, in depth. And we learn a lot about the true story of what happened with Frank, which I didn't know. But episode 4 is where they land the plane and they wrap it all up. And the first half is about Brian. And the second half is where Carl Lentz and Laura Lentz and the kids come back in. And they talk about their story of the last 3 years. And to me, episode 4 of the Hillsong documentary is one that even if you already know all the stories and you've read all the headlines and all of our coverage and you're not learning anything new for the first 3 episodes, episode 4 really is remarkable. And I would say watch it, even if you just skip to that, but watch the Duggars. Watch episode 4 of the Hillsong doc. This is a unique moment where we have two very prominent Amazon, FX, Hulu, like doing high quality documentaries about our little world, so watch it. See what the world's saying about us. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, what else do you have, Emily?
I have a very interesting report that came out about dating.
Ooh, I'm all ears.
I'm all ears.
Okay.
Just say, dear Cameron. None of them care about this. Say, here, Cameron, I found something you need to know.
I was trying to make it seem like we all were interested. I didn't want to single one out.
Go on now.
Cameron, if you could just really turn the volume up on this so you hear this.
Yo! Bow, bow.
It's my birthday, so you can't be mean to me. I can be mean to you, though.
Yes, you can. It's my gift to you. No comebacks. That's my gift to you.
Okay.
Gift that keeps on giving.
Until tomorrow. there is a really interesting new report, though, that said the average person said they can determine within the first 20 minutes of a date if they'll go out with someone again.
Mm.
20 minutes. Mm. That's all it takes.
So that's like speed dating.
I agree.
Speed dating.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
That seems to check out. I mean,
I agree.
I'm not dating, but I think I'd be able to determine if I did not want to go out again in the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
But like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, nope. But sure, you might need 45 or an hour to see if you really like them.
So see, I'm weird, but I can tell you within the first 30 seconds if I don't want to see you again. 30 seconds. I mean, right away. But you're right. Like, it may take a little more time to see, is there actually a potential... Is this worth going out again? Because for me, like, I'm not a date-to-date person.
You said 30 seconds? You can find out.
Which really means you're just looking at them.
No. I can write somebody off to go, I can tell what you're into, like, I vibe, like, the whole thing real quick. It's like, I can write you off quickly, but the idea of, like, is there enough substance to mine that this could turn into a relationship or we should continue pursuing this? That takes more time than 20 minutes. So... Mm-hmm. I'm like the two extremes. I need longer and shorter. I don't need 20 minutes.
Anyway. Listen, I think it's great advice. I've been happily married for many, many years now. But when I was on the dating scene, I would always follow one rule. On the first date, for the first 20 minutes, talk with a British accent because you seem very charming and smart and exotic. And they've already made the decision at that point. And then I kind of just slowly faded out.
That's why Harry Styles is so good. He gets all the women he wants.
Speaking of which, Mr. Styles, what are you... This was a huge mistake. This was a huge... He appears to be wearing some of my clothes at this point.
You didn't realize when he said he was Harry Styles, he spells it H-A-I-R-Y. And
to be honest, I didn't really ask. I'm not even certain that's his name. I just called a man Harry Styles and said, jump in. And... that was about an hour ago, and I'm a little concerned.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of mountain man clothes, like Harry Styles, like Harry men wear flannels and things like that.
Yeah, he was very
Yeti.
He was a stylish hairy man, I should say that.
All right.
That's hilarious.
Okay, so 20 minutes. That's the study. It's like there's a 20-minute cutoff. So you only got to be really good for 20 minutes, put on your best behavior, and then...
Wow.
Hello, Governor. Nice to meet you this evening.
It did go into, like, a big part of that is definitely, like, what conversation topics are you discussing in those 20 minutes? So, you know, things about your passions, even, like, environmental issues. Like, people said that they were interested in that. That made them... That was kind of a green flag for them. And then obviously more taboo subjects, definitely don't bring up within 20 minutes. So things like your ex, or are you interested in having sex tonight? Or
in
the first 20 minutes.
Which I'll be honest, if you bring that up in 20 minutes, you should not be on a date.
Comic books are not off the table, right? So like I can bring up my comic book table, my comic book collection.
I think you should bring up whatever you love. That's the point. Bring up whatever you love, and if it's a match, it's a match.
My pop collectibles. Like,
see,
If I just broke out like five pop collectibles, would be like, these are my favorite. This one right here.
I'm so glad you're married, Derek.
Incredible Hulk, Spider Man, Wolverine. Oh my gosh, is this a Wookiee?
I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to sound like an old woman who has not been in the dating scene for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
Are people deciding if they're going to have sex with someone and bringing it up in the first 20 minutes of conversation of meeting? Is this a thing?
Jamie, Emily and I talk about this a lot as far as like the different types of dating now. It's like hookup culture is it. I mean, it's like
you're there to hook up. That's it.
That's it. And it's like, it's so weird because like I personally only... have ever dated to marry. Like, I don't date casually. It's mm-hmm. like, I want to date you because I'm interested. Now, maybe it doesn't work out, obviously, but like, there's a purposefulness behind it. That's very rare now. It's just kind of like, wow. Oh, it's Friday night, let's hook up, whatever. And then like, move on and whatever next weekend.
That's you crazy.
Know? It's well, that's why the first 20 minutes of the dates, like I said, it was hard rules for me. It was a British accent and only three topics were allowed. Equestrian, nautical novels, and bocce ball. And it usually worked. I mean, I looked very charming and sophisticated. And this little
did
pro
you have
tip
a handlebar for mustache and a mm-hmm. bow tie?
Did you bring the bocce balls with you and like fiddle with them at the table?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. But at the 20-minute mark, I would dramatically peel away the handlebar mustache.
Once she's committed to the second date, you're like, okay,
yeah,
sweet.
Once she's made the decision that this charming, you know, evidently very wealthy British man has wooed me with his stories of the sea, then that's when I would let the persona down because I crossed the 20-minute mark. That's the rule, you know?
Yeah, comic books for me, baby. You first 15 minutes, start talking about episode 51 of X-Men. You know what I'm saying? And
Derek, it is.
You just sit down and immediately bring it up.
Hey, all right. So what did you think about Hulk versus Thor? Huh?
So glad you're married, man. I am. Just,
Jesse, save me. I would love to hear your wives' versions of y'all's first date. Like, I want to hear what y'all thought, how y'all thought the first date went, and then I want to hear how your wives thought.
I'm
going to
lie. You're not going to be very impressed because I was so broke. We probably was at Wendy's. Like, we just like, what? Hey, you want to be? I know for sure we had a date at Fazoli's. Like, for sure. I'm not going to count.
Derek's like, you're not going to believe it. One of my friends is feeling really generous and blessing me with $5. And here we go. Going to Wendy's, baby. Yeah.
Yo, we went to CC's Pizza, bro. For real. Yeah. We was tearing CC's up at one point in time, bro. It was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, that was a college kid like Nirvana going to CC's, man. $4, sir. All you need. Shoot. Anyway. All right, what else you got, Emily? Bring it home.
I want to end this with some good, happy encouragement. And thankfully, we have the perfect clip for that. Charlie Wilson, aka Uncle Charlie, was on NPR's Tiny Desk this week. Oh. And honestly, the whole thing's phenomenal. You should totally go check it out. But about halfway through his performance, he just really started preaching. And I think we should all hear it. So
it's awesome.
We're just going to let Uncle Charlie close out Buzz today. Play it, Jason.
My name is Charlie. Last name Wilson. Used to be the lead singer of Gap Band so many years ago. We sold millions of records. And I went from rags to riches, riches to rags, then rags to the curb, then curb to homeless, because I was an alcoholic and a crack cocaine addict. But I'm 28 years clean and sober. But a little bit of water in my body, cause I found something greater than myself. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet up on some solid ground. And if you think you know who I'm talking about, and you got a higher power,
let's go.
Get on your feet, throw your hands in the air, and somebody say, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come on, Uncle Charlie. Yeah. Come on, Uncle Charlie.
Everybody make some noise to see.
In the NPR offices. I love it.
Come on.
There we go.
In the middle of NPR. I love it. Charlie Wilson, buddy.
That's man. Hard.
That's how
hard.
I want to end Buzz every week from now on.
I love that. We should.
We posted that on the RollMagazine.com if you want to watch the whole thing. It is so good. What a great performance. All right. Thanks, Emily. If you want to see more stuff like that, check out RelevantMagazine.com every weekday where we are covering the intersection of faith, culture, justice, and all the other stuff. Thanks, Emily. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys.
Stay tuned. Up next, the good Chris Brown joins us. listening to Silly Boy Blue. Hey, that was my high school nickname. The song is Sparks. Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today. Well, our guest today is Chris Brown from Elevation Worship. We sat down with him to discuss the worship team's latest album, Can You Imagine? And how the album that wasn't supposed to happen came to life. Here's part of our conversation with Elevation Worship's Chris Brown.
Is there like a message or like a line that kind of connects all these songs together on this album?
The title, Can You Imagine, is a lyric from the song More Than Able. It's the lyric that comes in at the top of the bridge. I feel like we identified and executed, musically speaking, what that lyric is saying and how it should feel. Because can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? And I feel like when we hit that part in this song, you can feel a shift in the environment. And but I would say, yeah, of course we chose that song lyric to be the album title. Because I think a lot of the album is wrapped around just Ephesians 3:20, which our pastor has been preaching on more specifically and from unique angles, over the last 6 months specifically. But Ephesians 3:20 is God is able to do more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And honestly, we didn't set out to with the end goal in mind of, hey, let's have 8 songs that all, identify with that scripture or are to this end. We rarely do. We can talk more about how the recording itself came about and how the album wound up with the 8 songs. But, in hindsight, it's pretty cool to look back and go, wow, like these all do feel like they're centered around believing for what's ahead and not getting stuck in either wishing things were the way they used to be, or I kind of feel like I've screwed up too much in the past. So how could I possibly believe for more from God in front of me? And so I think a lot of the songs do find their identity around that scripture, that lyric. So that would be it.
I love that. Why do you think that's a message that people need to hear right now?
Well, I get personally, and I won't try to speak for our whole team, but I'll also speak on behalf of our team. But I think, the more years you have on you, you can easily begin to play things safe or, When Elevation first started as a church, as a ministry, everybody that was on staff was, Pastor Stephen and his wife Holly, they were 25, so they were young. And then everybody else on staff felt like we were 19, 20, just so like, but you have this this abandonment to like any fear or whatever it's, you know, it may take to believe like, oh yeah, like, of course it's gonna happen. And I'm speaking in terms of like ministry and around building our church, but of course you would apply it to any situation in life, anything that we go through. At least I've found that, you know, I have two kids now that are old, you know, getting older. I didn't have a mortgage, you know, 15 years ago. I have a mortgage. I have lots of amazing things that I could look back on and go, well, wow, like, I saw that happen. God did that. I can't believe I had that experience or whatever. And that can either lead to, man, what else might I experience in life? Or it could be, I can't believe I've had these experiences. I might, you know, take a little coast break and just chill for a while and not. And so I do think part of the album, I feel like you can identify Moses, the character, at this burning bush moment, where at that point he's middle-aged and he has this encounter with God speaking through, you know, a bush that's on fire. And he's been a shepherd for a while because he ran away from Egypt after murdering someone, and he met and married a foreigner, not one of his people, and he was enlisted as a shepherd in his father-in-law's, you know, business. And so he spent years, I believe, at that point, just, this is my life. I don't know if he felt like it was a good life, bad life, fine life, but that was his life. And then he has this encounter. God says, oh, you're the one I'm appointing to deliver my people from Egypt. And, you know, he just sat there and tried to talk God out of like, no, I'm not your guy. You know, you got the wrong one. I don't have this. I'm not good at that. And so I think a lot of More Than Able, the song More Than Able, feels a bit like, you know, Moses's thought life. When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? Why did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me?
You know, it's so interesting because I feel like I've noticed, like, with non-worship artists that, you know, they'll take, you know, a few years or something in between writing songs or producing albums. And I feel like Elevations, I feel like the last few years, I think you'll release an album every single year. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, it's really incredible that y'all are, like, able to produce so much. But what do you think it is about worship songs that you're just kind of constantly able to, like, write songs like this at this pace?
I think maybe it's a couple things. One, I believe with Pastor Steven driving so much of our worship culture, he kind of has an insatiable drive to, like, not let things feel stale. And I know that can be a, well, who says if something's stale? Well, it's, if nothing else, it's just like, well, it's a preference. But I think that he's a main factor. And then two, every seventh day, we're putting a set list together for our church. I think, like, if that keeps us motivated to have new music, because we have had seasons where, and we don't only do our own songs. I'm not saying that, but but we do primarily elevation stuff, and it is a good motivator to always bring a new song to both the Lord and our congregation. And so I think both of those factors and dynamics work kind of hand in hand that wind up then turning into an album. But I think like 52 Sundays, I guess. And if you were to put that in terms of like Taylor Swift's tour or something, it doesn't sound like all that much for 52 city tour for an artist, but the same people aren't showing up night after night and our congregation is showing up Sunday after Sunday. And if we were to play the same songs for a couple every, you know, waiting a couple years between new songs getting into the flow, I think it might begin to feel stale. So it's a good motivator for us just having Sundays come in, you know.
That was Chris Brown. Make sure to check out Elevation Worship's newest album. It's called Can You Imagine? All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. I'm stand strong, but I'm falling off track. Hitting the brakes, don't want to mess it up. I've been slipping in faith, can't help but stress it up. Feel like I'm in a race, the devil catching up. Scared I lose you. I know you know I love you though. Sometimes I get too comfortable and I mess it up on a regular. New day, new grace, don't get it, God. I'll be patient with you. Patient with me, and I'm done with all the running trying to find you. Cause I couldn't lose your love if I tried to. I'm the alchemist of all my problems, pessimist with all my flaws. Can you be the one to hold my columns? Take effect and be my cause. Of all my devotion, I hope that it's real. You're listening to Henrik, Loge, and Geo. The song is If I Tried.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Well, last week, obviously, we had the Montana episode, so we didn't do feedback. So 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the Hillsong documentary coming out and the Duggar documentary coming out at that time, which is out now. And we got talking about what other Christian documentary stories should be made. So we asked you. You hit us up on Twitter, at Relevant Podcast, and here's a few of our favorites.
My dog Ben Stroop said he'd need... a Blackwater Jerry documentary similar to Fade to Black, but this is about me calling Jerry Falwell's rap career, me creating his rap career.
I will never forget when we talked about that.
Blackwater, boy.
Oh my gosh.
That's hilarious.
I like Kara. This seems broad. I don't know what direction she wants to take it, but you know, no matter what direction she would, I'd probably watch. I want a documentary on youth pastors. I want to counter, Kara. I want a mockumentary on youth pastors. I want the Christopher Guest film a youth pastor convention. Ooh. But it's you know what I'm saying? It's Christopher Guest style. The whole cast, bring them back and do it at a youth pastor convention. I'm telling you, I would. You know, the best in show, waiting for Guffman thing. Like, it's perfect. The Mighty Wind. It is perfect. Yeah.
Well, on that one, Bob says Chubby Bunny, A History of Youth Group Games.
Oh, there you go.
I think that we can put them together.
Youth group games? Or did you say games or names? Chubby Bunny was
games.
Games. Gotcha. Games. I thought you were saying youth group names. It got me thinking, what was y'all's youth group name? Jesse, did you have a weird youth group name?
Unfortunately, you know what? I want to say at one point it was like Fresh Fire or something like that. There was a lot of flame related youth group names, you know, a lot of flames.
Mine in the 90s was named Strike Force. And it was like, and then like they made like a sword, and the reflection in the sword was like Jesus's face. And then like, and then it said like the somebody, I don't know, it was the violent take it by force or like the, I don't know, whatever the verse was, was our tagline. I didn't get it. Like, why are we so angry? Like, why are we strike force? We're just in there playing chubby bunny. Why is there military imagery going on swords. Here?
Hey, y'all. Yeah. This is too much. This is overload for me because it's so normal to y'all. But for me,
strike force.
You played a game called Chubby Buddy and they called you Strike Force.
Strike Force.
Strike Force, get over here and play Chubby Buddy.
Do you remember American Gladiators?
Strike Force. Like there was a, mount up. I don't know. Like, was it a He-Man reference? A Transformers reference? What are we doing with Strike Force here? I don't know.
This is crazy.
I feel like there was a time, you guys remember American Gladiators, right?
Of course.
Show? Yeah.
I feel like there's a time where you. American Gladiator names and youth group names were basically interchangeable. Like, and ladies and gentlemen, Blaze, you know, or Mountain. Any of those are just interchangeable with like 90s youth group names.
That is true. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Christian music festivals. You know what? Ooh. I think, isn't there a really good, I think there's a documentary, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? That has a, that has an interesting aside on like Cornerstone, I think.
On Cornerstone and stuff. I would watch a documentary about Cornerstone, the Christian Alternative Music Festival. That was so pivotal. Yeah. Oscar Isaac, the huge actor, performed in his Christian ska band back in like 2000 or whatever. I mean, like so many bands came through there that were really like outside, you know, they didn't fit the Christian radio, Christian bookstore mold, but there was a scene, man. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, anyway, there's more where that came from. Check out our replies at Relevant Podcast and you can... You know, maybe some entrepreneurial filmmakers will scan them and create one of these.
I want to learn about Strike Force.
Well, I have a good question of the week. Okay, so it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Hey. I'm not even going to ask the cast. I want to know y'all's youth group names. That's what I want. I want to know everybody's youth group names. Tell us the story behind your youth group name and like anything weird about your youth group. I want to know it all.
So it's the name of the entire group. They would call it like the, like almost like a basketball team or something, like the first
tactical team,
Blaze.
More like a special operations first, tactical unit.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Or like Strike Force every Wednesday night at 7.
Yeah. Strike Force, the youth ministry.
I love to watch that movie. That sounds like somewhere a lot of stuff gets blown up.
Mission
fire. You
know
what we have to remember though, guys? Cool. What we have to remember is that we're Warriors all grown adults worship. Right now. We're grown adults. But Cameron, when you were 15, you thought that was cool, Strike Force.
I don't know that we did.
Oh, you didn't?
My youth pastor did. He was very proud of it. we didn't.
But I feel like sometimes kids are like, yeah.
I was a little more just like, I liked going to Strike Force because there's cute girls there. I didn't care what they called it because there's cute girls there. It's cool. Whatever. I don't know. I didn't really care about the branding. Now every church is doing like I go to a church called Alive Church and like their young adults ministry is called like AYA, Alive Young Adults. Like I'm going, we're Strike Force. Like bring it back. It's almost like all the logos.
You want it back.
Like all the logos today are just like Helvetica and everything's boring. Bring back logos. Bring back Strike Force. Bring back.
Don't bring that back. Don't bring that back, y'all. Can you imagine Cohen going to Strike Force? Cohen would just not. He wouldn't go to youth group anymore. Yeah, he's just like, I'm not going to that. That's stupid.
That's stupid. It's exactly what he would say. Rightfully so. It's like, and what's interesting too is these kids, they don't have the gimmicks like they used to, like the youth group stuff or... I mean, like our church youth summer camp is just called summer camp. Like we named it, we themed it. I mean, it was like, you know, this summer, you know, like VBS and stuff, you know, it's like every year had a different theme.
Ours is called students at our church.
Just students. Right.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
Students.
Yeah.
Boring.
Who's allowed in here? Students.
Boring. Oh, that's where the Strike Force is training. Oh, wow. I want to join that.
Yeah. Oh, cool. What are we training for? Not clear.
Chubby bunny. Three leg races.
We're pretty good at these water balloon toss games.
So hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast and tell us your youth group name growing up. Okay. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Chris Brown from Elevation Worship for joining us today. Make sure to check out their new album, Can You Imagine? It's out today. There you go. Before we wrap things up, make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday. We are covering the intersection of faith, culture, life, justice, and more. We have some great interviews. We have the latest news. We have some think pieces every day. Check it out. Bookmark it. Come back. And follow us on all the socials. We're on Twitter and Facebook with everything we post. We also post occasionally over on IG and rarely on TikTok, though that will change this year. And I've been saying that for months, but I mean it. also, if you want to just, if you're not a social media person, you want to stay up on our latest stuff, you can sign up for our daily newsletter right there at relevantmagazine.com. We send you our top five trending stories each weekday morning right to your inbox. It's a great way to stay in the loop. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Mr. Styles!
Relevant Podcast Network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.